to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers. If you would like to connect with my guest or myself, please call here at WWGH, telephone number 740-383-9944. And on the free app called TuneIn, you can search WWGH. Sorry, I may have left that out. At least I felt like I did. Okay, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. The time, 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Place, once again, is Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply show up. Provide your name and number of people in your family. It's that time of year again where people really like fresh produce for their meals and salads and things like that. Believe it or not, we are in spring and we are heading toward summer. We also have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. The telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. The title is called Creative People. Creative people are easily bored. They are risk takers. Creative people color outside the lines. Creative people think with their heart. Creative people make lots of mistakes. Creative people hate the rules. Creative people work independently. Creative people change their minds a lot. Creative people have a reputation for being eccentric. And last but not least, creative people dream big. That's your thought for today from the desk of Linda here on A Voice of a People. Now I will turn my attention to one of my favorite guests, Tim Combs. He is our political historian, at least that's what I call him, because he has such a wealth of knowledge about politics, past and present, and he gives us a lot of information about election, who is running, and things like that. He keeps us up to date. He is also a former history teacher in the Marion City Schools of Marion, Ohio, and also have run for office himself. So today, people, it's politics. And how are you, Tim?
I'm fine. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad. It's been a rough and tough winter.
Yes, it has been. Yeah. But hopefully it's behind us now. So
I hope so. Boy, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
A lot of time has gone past. So what do you have for us today?
Well, I'm going to start with several different things. Actually, I'm going to start with a couple of election-related kinds of things, not necessarily politics as such. Anybody who's going to be voting starting in with the May election that we're going to have on May 7th, and for most people it's going to be a special election, but for people in the 5th Ward who happen to be Democrats, it will be a primary election because there is a contest for a 5th Ward Democratic nomination. But what I wanted to talk about are the new voting devices that we're going to be using starting in May. Okay. For the last 13 years, from November 05 through this last November 2018, we had been using the punch touchscreen system.
Right.
Things wear out, and so they have now replaced them with a new system. I'm not even going to try to get into a verbal discussion because it would lose something. I will just simply say it's not complicated, but it is new and it's going to be different.
Right.
It's going to really be a two-step process. And to kind of leave a bit of intrigue here, let me just say, if you don't do the second step, you will not have voted.
Really?
So, as I say, it's a different system. I know up at the Marion County Board of Elections, they have set up one of the new devices, and people can come in there and have them explain how they're to be used.
Right.
I don't know whether or not they're going to go out to, like, maybe some stores to set things up. That's probably not going to happen.
Like have a demonstration.
Yeah. Now, one thing is going to happen, and I'll just simply say the May election likely is going to be a light turnout election.
Okay.
November, of course, will be more people voting. It's a general election. Mm-hmm. And so before that, of course, we'll have the Marion County Fair in early July.
Right.
The Board of Elections always has a booth in the Coliseum there, so I'm sure we'll have one this year, and I'm sure they will have one or more of these devices where people are going to be able to have some kind of a mock election.
Right.
They'll be able to get some hands-on use of how the system works. Of course, they have the Popcorn Festival in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not they're going to do anything at that point. I don't know.
I surely hope so.
But maybe they may well
right.
do something this year. But as I said, it's a new system. Marion County is going to it. I know Franklin County is going to it.
Okay.
A number of other counties are going to this new thing. For a county board of elections to adopt a new system, they have to be approved by the Secretary of State, who is in the Secretary of State in their capacity as the state's chief elections officer.
Okay.
And they have what they call a board of voting election examiners or voting examiners. And they are the group that officially certifies whatever vendors and whatever machinery can be used in a county. And so these have been approved. And the state bill had to be approved in the General Assembly to allow counties to purchase these, because we're talking several hundred thousands of dollars, and counties simply would not have that kind of money. So the state basically has to fund this. The previous ones we had, the touch screens, were through a federal program, because all this back in the early 04, 05, after what happened in Florida back in 2000, with this, when the various systems were done away with and the new ones adopted.
They were paper ballots then, right?
And I will simply say there's going to be a paper kind of thing involved here.
Really?
But I'm not going to try to get into any specifics. I will just simply say, if anybody has an opportunity this next week or so to get to the Board of Elections,
go check it
and
out.
Just kind of see what, if not, when you go to the polls on May 7th this year,
okay.
The new machines will be there, and I'm sure they will walk people through and whatever. So,
They'll have to.
The other thing I should point out and talk about is the Board of Elections itself. There have been changes at the Marion County Board of Elections. There was controversy over previous months over some board members. One was kind of forced to resign, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Both the director and deputy director who had been at the board were both let go. And so there's now a new director, Cindy Price. She's the new Democratic director. And the new deputy director, and actually the current interim director, is a gentleman named Dave Little, who was actually the director when I was on the board back several years back.
Okay.
And he came back on a kind of interim basis. And he's going to be there, I think, like maybe to early next week, then he's going to be gone. And the board has hired a young man by the name of Brian Blair, I believe his name is.
Okay.
And he's going to be the Republican deputy director, and he'll start April 8th, and it will be his first day of the job. Now, he doesn't have any election experience as such, but he has a number of managerial experience and so forth, and they will just simply have to get him trained in election processes and all that. So, and then, as I say, there are new board members. In fact, the oldest board member, who is now Lynn Zucker, is one of the Republican board members. She's now chair of the board. She just came on the board in January of 2018.
Okay.
And then Carolyn Weston came back on the board came on the board in December of 2018 after replaced Mr. Chafin. And then as of March 1, the parties put on Larry Heiser, who was local Republican attorney as a new board member replacing Tom Frericks, who had been there for a number of years.
Yes.
And Phyllis Eshman Thomas, who had been on the board for about, I think, 7 years, was replaced by Chris Smith, who's a former director, deputy director of the board, and she's now one of the new Democratic board members. So there's been some changes at the board, and I think based on whatever, I think things are going to be working out well, and we'll be doing a lot of good things these next few years. So
yeah, that was a big overhaul.
Yeah. There was probably more change at the Marion County Board of Elections the last year and a half than there has been the last 30 years combined, whatever. So
I'm sure it was.
So,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
People wanted to make sure that their votes were
being counted, and there were some issues. So
not just in our county. I mean, around our United States, yeah. There's always some problems.
Yep. As I said, I hadn't been here since October, which, of course, was prior to the November general election last year. Certainly some changes. Probably one of the biggest changes was, of course, the U.S. House of Representatives came under Democratic control with Nancy Pelosi now as Speaker. The Democrats actually picked up 43 House seats throughout the country. They lost three, but a net gain of 40. And there's a couple of special elections going to happen here in the next few months. They may pick up another seat or two. The Senate remained under Republican control. The Republicans actually picked up a couple seats there. Of course, here in the state of Ohio, Republicans won all the statewide administrative offices again. Now, the Democrats did win two seats, Supreme Court seats. Sherrod Brown was elected to the Senate. He did look for a time that he was going to run for president, decided not to do that. He's going to stay in the Senate. And so there was that change. And then locally, essentially all the people who were in office were returned to office. Ray Grogan as prosecutor, Ken Stuyvesant as commissioner, and Joanne Kasotis was unopposed for re-election as auditor. And we had a couple new state representatives that were elected. And
we lost Judge Finnegan.
Judge Finnegan retired, and right. Judge Slickle was defeated for re-election. So a couple of new judges that were elected. So. So that brings us to this year's municipal elections. Back in February was the filing deadline for the May 7th primary/special election.
Okay.
Let me just say, first on the primary election side, there will be no Republican primary in the city of Marion. There will be no Democratic primary except 5th Ward Democrats will have a primary for because they have the only contested race in the primary, and I'll get to that here in just a minute.
Okay.
Let me just kind of run through who are the candidates who have filed at this point. And this February deadline was for the party candidates.
Okay.
People who want to run as independent candidates have until Monday, May 6th at 4 o'clock to file papers. As far as I know, as of, I think, today, no independent candidates have filed, but there may be some people out there circulating petitions, but they have to file those by May 6th at 4 o'clock. And then, of course, those petitions have to be checked to make sure they have enough valid signatures. And then those people, if they do have enough valid signatures, they will go directly on to the general election in November then.
Okay.
So far for mayor, incumbent Mayor Scott Schertzer filed for election to a fourth term as the Democratic candidate. And Kevin Norris, who is currently a Republican council member at large, filed as the Republican candidate for mayor. For city auditor, the current Democratic city auditor, Kelly Carr, filed for her fourth term as city auditor, and she is going to be challenged by Robert Landon, who is currently the 1st Ward Republican councilman.
Okay.
Law director, Democrat Mark Russell, filed for re-election another term, and at this point he has no opposition.
Oh, okay.
Now, the only possible opposition he could get would be if an independent were to file. Actually, because you have to not only be an attorney to file for law director, you also have to be a resident of the city of Marion. And that's really reduces the number of potential candidates. So I would not be surprised if Mr. Russell doesn't have any opposition for another four term. City Council President Todd Schneider, a Democrat, filed for election. Now, he technically was elected 2 years ago as an independent. And that was a kind of a bizarre situation because of what happened when a couple of the candidates' petitions were knocked out 2 years ago. But he is a Democrat. He's running for another term. He has no opposition at this point. Again, we'll have to see if any independent files. At-large, we have three at-large council members, or three at-large seats. And right now, there's just three candidates running, which means these people are elected already, unless, again, a one or more other independent candidates file. Councilman Josh Daniels filed for election as on the Democratic ticket. Becky Gustin, a Democrat, filed for election. And we have a new young man by the name of Mike Neff filed as a Republican candidate for city law director, or for council at large. And now those are the three candidates. Now, as I say, right now they're elected, but again, if somebody else wants to file, mm-hmm. they'll have to do that as an independent candidate. And again, I don't
is
know
what
that's...
Is it too late to file now?
I mean, only for independent candidates. The deadline in February was for party candidates.
Okay.
In Ohio, the recognized parties are the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Green Party, and the Libertarian Party.
Right.
And those are the recognized parties, so... Then in the first ward, this is going to be an open seat because Mr. Landon's running for auditor. Kai Mead is the Democratic candidate, and Jill Lippert is the Republican candidate in the first ward seat.
Okay.
In the second ward, Ayers Ratliff, who has been a veteran of that race, is unopposed right now for another term as second ward councilman, Democratic ticket. In the third ward, we'll have a contest right now. Republican Jason Schauber is running for re-election. He is being challenged by Kevin Lytle, who's the Democratic candidate. Kevin's father, Al Lytle, was a former city council member. In fact, I actually served with Al on city council back in the 80s when I was on council.
Okay.
And the fourth ward, Debbie Blevins, who has been a veteran of the fourth ward, is the Democratic candidate for re-election. And she's being opposed by Josh Feliciano on the Republican ticket. In the fifth ward, Republican Leslie Cunningham filed for election. Now, in the fifth ward voters who are Democrats will have a choice to make for their nominee. Tara Dyer, who was the Democratic candidate for commissioner back in November, has filed for that race. And her opponent is Tanner Hale,
okay.
who seeks the nomination. Now, that name Tanner Hale may sound a little familiar because Tanner actually ran 4 years ago for city council in the third ward, and that was a Republican then. But since then, he has changed parties and changed wards.
Oh, wow.
And so now he is the running for the Democratic nomination in the fifth ward.
Tara.
Yeah, and that's that race will be decided among fifth ward Democrats.
Right.
And in the sixth ward, Republican Billy Mayberry is the only one running for the sixth ward council seat. The current councilman there, Rick Huddle, has decided not to seek re-election as city council member. Now,
what is their responsibility as being a ward?
A ward representative. Well, you're a member of the city council, and of course, that's the legislative branch of the city government.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Now, in addition, there are going to be four issues on the ballot, which is why, for most people, this is going to be a special election because, as I say, there will be no Republican primary, there will be no citywide Democratic primary. Only fifth ward Democrats will have a ballot with just these two fifth ward candidates who are on the ballot.
All right.
Now, there are four issues on the ballot. One of them is a countywide issue, which means potentially every registered voter in Marion County could be involved with this. And that is the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities.
Okay.
Has an issue on the ballot for a 1.7 mil millage levy for 10 years, and it is a countywide issue. What means is a lot of people are only going to have that issue to vote on. And so my guess is it's going to be a very light election. And if you're a poll worker, you better bring a good book because my guess is you're going to have a probably a long day.
Long, boring day. Huh?
I mean, I'm thinking of people out in the county who has, this is going to be the only thing they're going to have to vote on.
Right.
Whatever. Now, some people out in the county or even for that matter the city will have maybe some other issues. Those people who are in the Pleasant Local School District, they are having a proposed 1% 10-year school district income tax proposal, which has been put on the ballot. And this issue actually narrowly lost last November. They're bringing it back now to try to get it approved.
Okay.
The voters in the River Valley School District have a 1% 5-year city income or school district income tax issue. And again, this is going to be an income tax, not a property tax, an income tax. And what this is in both the River Valley situation, the Pleasant situation, it is what is called for earned income. So, for instance, if you're a retiree, mm-hmm. get Social Security, get railroad retirement. Like my wife and I are retired through teacher retirement and through school board retirement. We would not pay the income tax because it's only on earned income. In other words, you have a okay. job, you get a pay. That's earned income.
Right.
So people who are on the retirement process, that's not earned income. So
right.
But and they could vote for this, and it would not actually affect them in terms of having to pay for it.
Right.
Then in Marion Township, and this is the town part of the township outside the city of Marion, they call it the Marion Township Road District, there is a 1.5 mil property tax issue for 5 years for road improvements on township roads. Those of us who live in the various subdivisions, we have to live in the Royal Oak area subdivision. You have Kingwood Acres, you have Marion Meadows, mm-hmm. and then those areas that are the township areas with roads, that's what this issue is for, township road improvements. Okay. So potentially, in some cases, and we're actually involved with this, we're going to actually have three issues to vote on. And again, because it's issue process and not a primary, it will be a special election for most people.
Right.
So that is where we're at in terms of the May 7th primary / special election. And in fact, in many parts of the state, there will be nothing to vote on because there's, particularly in all the rural counties, right. if there's no special issues and so forth. There is one other filing deadline after the May deadline for independent candidates for city offices. Wednesday, August 7th at 4 o'clock is the deadline for people running for boards of education, township trustee, township village or township fiscal officer, and all the various village offices, village mayors, village mm-hmm. council members. That filing deadline is not until August okay. because those people go directly to the November general election then. So again, that's a whole group of other individuals at this point. So that's kind of where the rundown of where we're at in terms of what we're running for in 2019 local elections. Obviously, again, things happen nationally.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're already up running on the presidential race, particularly the Democratic side, because right. an open race. Of course, last Friday, Mr. Mueller's report was delivered to William Barr, the Attorney General. And that race, and then and Mr. Barr announced a summary this past Sunday afternoon to...
I haven't heard anything from a lot of my friends who've been really pushing for the Mueller report. Yeah. It's like, here it is, right?
Okay. What the Mueller report did and what they based on the summary that we've seen is that they could find that there was no collusion or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian operatives. Mm-hmm. Now, the Russians didn't try, in fact, to influence the election. One issue that Mr. Mueller did not make a conclusion on was, did the president involved with obstruction of justice? Mm-hmm. Mr. Barr, on his own, felt that there was not sufficient grounds for obstruction charge. And but what is now being demanded, and actually most people want this to happen, is for the entire Mueller report to be released publicly so everybody can take a look at what exactly was in the report. And I'm sure that's probably going to happen.
Right.
Now, some things that are going to have to be redacted, as they call redacted, grand jury testimony, because grand juries do operate behind closed doors.
Okay.
National security kinds of things, they would be held out. But hopefully, the House, I think the House Judiciary Committee has indicated they wanted to see this out by next Tuesday, April 2nd. So we'll see whether they can get that out by that time. And then, of course, there are other investigations against president members of the president's family are ongoing. You have the federal attorneys in the Southern District of New York who are conducting various investigations.
Right.
You have the state of New York the New York Attorney General, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, involved various investigations. So we'll see what all this plays out over the next months. And then just last night, Mr. Trump, as someone said, kind of stepped in it when he said that the Justice Department would, in fact, support the action to try to overturn the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And that really is because particularly such things as pre-existing conditions,
right.
People up to age 26, you know, that was...
On their parents.
And, yeah, that would not go over well. And, in fact, back prior to the fall election,
mm-hmm.
I heard this today and I forgot about it. Nancy Pelosi, at that point, was just before the November voting, said
right.
health care was on the ballot. And then she said the day after the election, health care was on the ballot and health care won.
Okay.
And 40% of the people who voted in what they call exit polling named health care as their number one issue.
Okay.
Those people, by a 52-point margin, voted for Democratic candidates for
healthcare.
Congress.
Okay.
And that's why probably one of the major reasons why the House of Representatives flipped, in the country.
True.
So, yeah, we're going to hear more about the whole thing with the Mueller report and all that over the days ahead.
But healthcare is important.
Oh, well, it touches so many people.
Yeah.
I think there's probably nobody who's not affected by it.
True.
Or someone in your family. We just saw this disaster that unfolded on the Norwegian cruise ship in the off of Norway mm-hmm. here over the weekend.
Right.
And there were most of the people on board were U.S. and British tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, nobody was killed, and they got everybody off the ship, or else they were able to, after they got the ship running again, they were able to get into port.
Right.
And there were about 900 people left on it. But there were about 20-25 people who were injured in some capacity. And those people all were taken to, into Norwegian hospitals. You know, unlike the United States, you know, these countries, the world, they have total coverage. And these people, even so they're not Norwegian citizens,
right.
They'll be taken care of through their health system. And and actually probably won't see a bill on it or whatever. So,
right.
But that issue is going to be out there as we over the next weeks and months. And of course, we have a number of candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for president. I mean,
we have a whole lineup.
Yeah, and we probably have at least probably one more major one announced. That's presumably Joe Biden, probably sometime in April.
What do you think about his chances?
Well, certainly he's well known.
Yes.
He's been around. He was, of course, Barack Obama's vice president for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you've got Senator Kamala Harris out of California. There's Beto O'Rourke out of Texas,
mm-hmm.
who made a strong bid for the Senate seat against Ted Cruz, didn't win, but came very close in a state which has been difficult for Democrats to win in.
Right.
And he's an exciting person. He raised a huge amount of money in the Senate bid. You have, of course, Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts is running. Amy Klobuchar, senator from Minnesota.
Right.
You have John Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado, running. Bernie Sanders is out there running. it's just a whole thing. You have the mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana, Pete, not sure I'm going to pronounce his name right. It starts with a B. A gay American, and he's people, Fort Wayne have elected him, and I think he's elected him and re-elected him as mayor of
right.
Fort
right.
Wayne. It's a variety of candidates out there, I think.
Well, last election, presidential election, there were a lot of Republicans.
Oh, yeah. And now, actually, it looks like Mr.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Mr. Trump is probably going to have at least one opponent, William Weld, the former Republican governor of Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
And may challenge him. And then there's someone like to see Larry Hoagland, who's the Republican governor of Maryland, challenge Mr. Trump. See how that all works out, whatever. But so
he doesn't have much contention, right?
So
just one, huh?
And of course, the issues out there are just a variety of issues that they will be talking about over the weeks and months ahead. Wow. And again, as always, money is is the big thing. It tries to raise huge amounts of money to run for these offices and so forth.
Of course. And, you know, when they came out with no collusion, I could imagine the mouths that felt that just dropped wide open, because everyone was just hoping, and not everyone, but a lot of Democrats were just hoping that he found something against. But, you know, they've been screaming, what is it? Get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word I'm trying
impeach.
To impeach him.
I don't know whether that was actually going to happen, because actually Nancy Pelosi a couple weeks ago said it all before the report came out that she really didn't think in terms of impeachment, because the way this works under the Constitution, the House of Representatives by a simple majority vote can impeach a president, but then they have to go to the Senate for trial, and it takes a 2/3 majority.
Right.
That's, you know, high standard. Right. You'd have to get 67 out of 100 senators would have to convict on a count to remove a person from office.
Right.
And that, you know, I mean.
She said he wasn't worth it.
Yeah, and she says that, you know, I mean, why do something that you know is not going to be successful at the end?
Right, right.
And so.
I heard even some Democrats if that was that showdown had to really happen, you know.
But like I say, they want to continue to look at some of these other. Air Fort Wayne. Okay. It says here Tom Henry, Mayor of Fort Wayne. He was a former mayor. That must have been a former mayor, because the current mayor is Pete. Pete's my favorite last name.
So he's going to be in the lineup also on the Democratic ticket?
Yeah, he's really running for the Democratic nomination.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And who is the independent? Did he pull back?
I said Fort Wayne. This gentleman who's running for mayor for president is mayor of South Bend.
South Bend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
Yeah, I got the wrong city.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You have a lot to remember. You're good, though, South Bend. That doesn't take anything away from you. You're good. Really good.
Okay. What was your question? I didn't.
The independent.
Well,
is he shrinked back, or is he going to go forward?
Well, Bernie Sanders, of course, is running as a
independent also.
He's the Democratic nomination. He's an independent senator from Vermont.
Right.
Excuse me. Actually, Tom Steyer, who is a wealthy businessman, billionaire businessman, he is the one who's been pushing about impeachment. Some people had him running maybe as in either a Democrat or as an independent. Another one, Howard Schultz, who owns the Starbucks company, he had been mentioned as a possible independent. I don't know whether he's going to go or not.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, the running is there for them if they
want. And of course, a year from now, I mean, well, actually, a year from now, we will have already had the Ohio primary, because our primary in the presidential years is in March.
Yeah,
and normally it's in the other 3 years on the cycle. It's it's in May. So
we got a fact check.
Ah, here we go. Yeah, Pete B U T T I G I E J Buttigieg. He's the mayor of South Bend. Yeah,
yeah.
He's the one. He's the gay mayor of South Bend. Okay. People elected him and reelected him, and he is he's out there. He's got various issues he's pushing. So,
so what do you think? Democratic chances look like as far as
here's the thing. Mr. Trump has a base within the Republican Party, and I've heard reports that 85-90% of Republicans support him. The problem for the Republicans is they're down, and actually I had some numbers I left at home. The Gallup poll, every month, once or twice a month, surveys about 1,000 or a couple thousand people throughout the country, across section. And they ask people, as of today, how would you identify yourself? Democrat, Republican, or independent? Republicans are at about 28%, which means the other 72% of the voters are either Democrats or independents.
Wow.
Yeah, you may have 90%, but that's 90% of maybe 28%. Well, that's not going to get you. And then his support among Democrats is virtually nil.
Right.
And independents maybe a third, and so his overall approval rating has been trending at about the low 40s, and that's about 4%, 5% less than he actually got back in 2016 when he defeated Hillary. And again, remember, Hillary got the 3 million more popular votes.
Yes.
It was the Electoral College.
And that's, get that.
And that's the other thing that some people are now pushing about eliminating the Electoral College. And that's an issue all by itself.
Oh, well, that's still on the line.
Well, it's
not necessarily thinking about moving it, but keeping it, right?
Well, there are those who like to eliminate it.
Right.
But again, probably the cleanest way of doing it would be to amend the Constitution, which would eliminate it. There is a way that some people are using to try to circumvent mm-hmm. Electoral College. And this is what is called the National Direct Election Compact. And what it is, a number of states have passed measures that if enough states get to 270, which is the number of votes required for election
right.
for president and vice president, then those states would instruct their electors to vote for the person who got the most popular votes,
mm-hmm.
irregardless of electoral, in other words, the most popular votes, so that you would always then have the person winning the Electoral College who also received the most popular votes.
Right.
Because twice in the last 16 years, we've had a person elected president twice who did not win the popular vote. George W. Bush in 2000, Mr. Trump in 2016. Mm-hmm. And this is something that most people had thought was something that happened back in the 19th century and would happen again. And
not in our day.
Now it's twice happened in here in the, well, the end of the 20th and the 21st century. Yeah.
Absolutely. I know, and people feel like it's such a cheat.
Yeah.
You know, because they want their voice. You know, when you're out talking to young people and mm-hmm. you're trying to encourage them to go vote, your vote matters, it matters, it matters. And then when things like that happen, they're like, well, I guess my vote didn't matter, did it?
Well, it matters, except that, the electoral vote, or usually what happened in the past, the popular vote in the state determines what set of electors, and as I say, prior to 2000, the last time it had been like this had been 1888. But now we've had twice in 16 years, mm-hmm. and this is why there's some people say maybe it's, the Electoral College has outlived its usefulness. It was created, and again, without going into a lot of history here, it was the very last thing that was decided at the 1787 Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia,
right.
was how to elect the president. Now, there were those who wanted to go direct election,
mm-hmm.
but at the time, in 1787, only about 10% of people could even read or write at the time. And, I mean, they could never envision a country of 340 million people and, 98% literacy rate.
Yeah.
And they came up with this indirect system. We'd had, actually, until the early 20th century, had the indirect system for United States senators, because United States senators initially were elected by the state legislatures. That all changed when the 17th Amendment was adopted in 1913,
mm-hmm.
providing for the direct election of U.S. senators.
Right.
And since 1914, the senators have been elected directly by the people. The House of Representatives have always been elected directly by the people.
Yeah.
But then, the president has been elected by this Electoral College system, which, again, most elections, the person who won the most popular votes also won the Electoral College.
Right.
But we've now had two instances in the last 16 years that did not happen.
That's true.
And,
people say he stole the election. He didn't win the election.
So that's where we're at.
Will not move. They will not move their stance from that. He did not win the election. Hillary Clinton won the election.
So.
But it is what it is. And like you said, this is not the first time this has happened. Mm-hmm. Caller, you are on the air.
Yes, I wanted to talk to your guest there. Who are you, sir?
Jim Combs. He's our political historian and a former history teacher at Marion City Schools. Who are you?
I might be somebody you know.
Your question?
You don't recognize my voice?
Oh, I know who you are, Jeff. Your question?
Well, didn't Obama win because of the electoral at least once?
Think so.
Well, Barack Obama, he won both electoral vote and the popular vote in both elections.
So you'd be in favor of the electoral as long as the guy you want to win wins.
Well, I think what the question is do you want the Electoral College to reflect how the popular vote went? In other words, in most presidential elections we've had, the winner of the popular vote has also won the electoral vote. And we've had these two instances the last 16 years where the person who did not win the popular vote, and again, under our system, the Electoral College is the way in which the president is elected officially. And we've had twice in the last 16 years where the popular vote winner and the electoral vote winner were different.
Yeah, I really don't think that the Democrats and the liberals would be so upset if Hillary had won. They would never say a word if she won by electoral, would they?
Well, I'm sure that they would have been happy, but let's say Mr. Trump had gotten more popular votes and he still lost, my guess is many of those in the Republican Party would have been very upset. And
suppose it works both ways.
Well, I suppose that's it. But it's interesting the three times and more, and again, prior to 2000, you have to go all the way back to 1888 when Benjamin Harrison defeated Grover Cleveland for president. Harrison, of course, was the Republican challenger, and he won, or Cleveland, the incumbent president, won the popular vote, but Harrison had carried enough of the big states and therefore got the Electoral College and won the election. Now, Cleveland did get his revenge. 4 years later, he came back and ran against Harrison in 1892 and ousted Mr. Harrison and returned to the White House. So that makes Grover Cleveland our only president to have served two non-consecutive terms, which is why, although Mr. Trump is the 45th president, he's actually only the 44th person to be president. Because they count Grover Cleveland, I think it's the 22nd and 24th presidents because of his two non-consecutive terms.
What exactly do the Democrats and liberals have against Trump anyways?
Well, obviously there's some major policy disputes differences with Mr. Trump. There have been a number of people who have been concerned over some of the things that have happened in his administration. Obviously, Mr. Mueller's report, Mr. Trump is going to claim this is an exoneration. What Mr. Mueller did not say was, on the matter of obstruction of justice, he could not determine whether there was or not. And so that's where there's going to probably be some further review.
Yeah, how long are they going to continue this?
Well, there's various other grand juries, other investigations going on.
Why?
Well, the state of New York is investigating various things with the Trump Foundation, Mr. Trump's business dealings in New York State.
You know what I think?
We're out of time.
I think the Democrats are searching for power.
Well, everybody is. It don't matter which party.
No, I don't agree with that.
We're out of time, and thank you for your call.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is, I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that may sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here. It's done. And what she said, and I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of money and she